From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
The foreign ministers of Russia and China met early Tuesday. They held bilateral talks in Guilin, China. Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov and China's foreign minister Wang Yi discussed the current status and prospects for bilateral relations and world events in general. They held a press conference afterward, and we bring you as much of that as time allows.
It's very nice to welcome, to greet my friend, Minister Lavrov. They say that the scenery in Berlin, the best in China, and the level of the relationship between Russia and China, the strategic relations between Russia and China, is also over the top, through the roof. No matter what the international situation is, the comprehensive cooperation between Russia and China will only develop. It's not going to become weaker. It's going to become bigger, not smaller. We have just held substantial talks with Minister Lavrov, including our meeting. We have exchanged our opinions, and we have exchanged the ideas about the relevant agenda of the international situation. We think that the strategic governance of our leaders is the best thing about Russia and China relations. Currently, Xi Jinping and President Putin are following the current trends. They strengthen the mutual trust, and they develop plans for the Russian-Chinese relationship, which allows us to react to the ever-changing international situation. During the pandemic, our leaders will continue cooperating closely, and they are going to continue discussing plans to strengthen cooperation, and they're going to overcome the challenges along the path to the mutual beneficial cooperation. We have agreed that our mutual fight against the pandemic not only reiterated our friendship, but also have shown the way for the entire world how to curb the pandemic in these dark times. In this fateful moment, our countries gave a helping hand to each other. We supported the healthcare systems in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. We have championed the truth, and we have become the light in the dark times for the other countries. We have become a reliable guarantors to overcome the vaccine gap. The Russian and Chinese cooperation to curb the pandemic have won respect and have become a part of history. We work together to develop in economical sense. For the third year in a row, the turnover is more than $100 billion. And there is the dynamic of progress and the growth. We are developing strategically important projects in oil and nuclear power. And we also work in artificial intelligence, 5G, and big data. We have signed memorandum on cooperation in international scientific lunar base. All these things together go to show how strong Russian-Chinese practical cooperation. It went through the challenges of the pandemic, becoming ever more strong, ever stronger. We have also talked about the key role that Russia and China play in these matters. We have agreed on a number of the global agenda matters, and we are going to talk in detail about such things as human rights, democracy, the world order, and multilateralism. That serves as a reaction for all the developing countries. We want to be more open, more inclusive, and to be more on equal footing, to go away from the mentality of the zero-sum game, without to go without any interference into the sovereign matters and to work for the better of all the peoples in the world. This year, the 20 years of the signing of the Treaty of Good Neighborliness and the Friendly Cooperation has laid the strong foundation for the long-term and healthy development of our relations. So such treaties and such ideas are more in demand in this world that is becoming too self-centered. And it's very important to hold dear the bilateral relations between the states, keeping in mind the positive historic experience. Russia and China agreed to extend this big treaty and to sign new treaty about the Russian and Chinese cooperations in this new era. And I suggest to work on the four tracks. First, to support each other in the matters that represent a key interest, the similarity of positions, and the supporting each other is the best example of such relations. We are going to develop fully the agreements at the highest level, support each other in the supporting sovereignty in interest of the development of both countries according to the international realities. Secondly, against the background of the fight against pandemic, it is important to recover the trade and manufacture, to harmonize the standards and procedures of the virus test, and to discuss the possibility to spread the international certificate for the travelers and accepting the mechanisms of mutual acceptance of the health certificates to curb the spread of the infection, to develop the new procedure for the safe travels. We're going to continue to cooperate in the vaccine manufacturing and to introduce Russian and Chinese input in its layout. Thirdly, we must be partners in implementing large strategic projects. We are going to develop solid assets in the scientific and innovation research and development. We're going to work in new areas. We are going to create light assets, so with putting emphasis on innovations by creating diversified structure of cooperation to finding new growth points and to develop our cooperation further. Fourthly, we must champion the fairness, fair approach and the international matter. This year, at the 50th anniversary of reestablishing China in the UN and its joining the WTO, we understand how important it is to implement the ideas of multilateralism. China is ready, along with Russia, to shoulder the multilateral approach, defend the world order based on international law, and to value universal values as peace, democracy, and freedom, building together the society that is going to be fair for everyone. And as a conclusion, I would like to say that we have just had that spring day of a quote day, which is a sign of spring. So the hope is not far away. We are ready to work together with Russian partners and with international partners to fight with the pandemic and to meet the new spring day that will bring about cooperation and prosperity for all. Now I give the floor to Minister Lavrov.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be in this lovely place, to enjoy the scenery, and definitely we've really enjoyed the vista. However, it did not distract us from the substantive talks that were held in a friendly atmosphere. These were substantive talks. We discussed the full range of our bilateral agenda. We continue to work closely across all practical issues and across the international agenda, all those areas that have been identified as priorities earlier during the meetings and conversations between the two leaders. We will continue to upgrade our relationship in the vein of strategic cooperation. We discussed the fight against COVID and discussed the status of arrangements for the top level contacts. We will be marking the 20th anniversary of good neighborly relations between Russia and China. We have identical positions on many issues. We both believe that relations must be based on mutual respect, non-interference in internal affairs, and justice. We condemn zero-sum geopolitical games and unilateral illegitimate sanctions that our Western counterparts rely on in an increasing way. We both believe that Russian-Chinese dialogue is a major factor in stabilizing world affairs. We both believe that the U.S. has a destabilizing role. It relies on Cold War military alliances and is trying to set up new alliances to undermine the world order. The West is pursuing its concept of the rule-based world order, and amid that, Russian Chinese efforts, including other nations' efforts to preserve contemporary international law order, has been extremely relevant. We talked about the UN, G20, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, BRICS, Russia, India, China, APEC, ASEAN, and other structures of regional importance based on ASEAN. We also talked about the preparation for the summit between the permanent members of the UN Security Council upon the initiative of Russian President Vladimir Putin and supported by the Chinese leader. As we said, together with Mr. Minister Van Yi, we signed a joint declaration which shares our positions on such issues as democracy, human rights, international law, and the need to look for collective arrangements to address international issues. We also signed a plan of consultations for the year ahead. There will be multiple contacts at the level of deputy ministers of foreign affairs, at the level of departments, to discuss a broad range of global and regional issues. On behalf of our delegation, I would like to extend my deepest gratitude for the hospitality and for a very substantive agenda of the talks. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Lavrov. Now, Q&A session, please. The floor is given to the correspondent of CCTV, reporter of CCTV. Hello? Ministers, my question is for Minister Ban Ki. So, Americans emphasize the importance of the competition and the strong from the position of power, and Russia talks about cooperation. So, in this ever-changing world, what kind of relations between superpowers do we need and how they should be built? Thank you for an interesting question. We can see the very high level of our reporters if they ask such questions, because questions like this deserve a lot of attention, because now we face a lot of global challenges in this historic moment. We must look at how superpowers behave, how they build relations between each other, if they confront with each other or they support each other and work with each other. So the state of mankind depends on this. We think that great powers must remain great. What is greatness? Greatness is not about being stronger or being of higher position or having more authority. The greatness is in showing, carrying more responsibility, shouldering more responsibility, putting more into the world process. We are talking about the way I see it, the great powers must set an example of equality and how they follow the UN Charter. They must renounce from exclusivity, from using the position of strength of the great powers must behave in a decent manner, in a dignified manner. They must respect each other's interests without imposing their own criteria, without interfering with the sovereign affairs, using the democracy and freedom rights as an excuse. The great powers must set an example of cooperation for the mutual benefit without the zero-sum games, without any unilateral sanctions, without any signs of confrontations. The great powers must set an example of following the rights, international law, renounced from using some rules. They must play by the international law charters. And Russian and Chinese relations is going to show that it is a stabilizing factor, because we always try to steer away from confrontation without any alliances against third parties. We always support each other's interests and concerns. We think we must protect and champion fairness and justice for the multilateral and multipolar world order that is based on international law. And China urges all the countries to return to the main values and principles of the UN Charter, to value these stipulations of international law that we work hard to make true, to fight against international terrorism for the good of humankind and for the progress of civilization. Thank you. Now the floor is given to the RIA Novosti Agency. Mr. Lavrov, this is a question for you. How does Russia plan to go away from using payment systems controlled by the West? And do we have any agreements with China on creating such kind of a mutual payment system? What could be used as a foundation, as a basis, maybe Russian system or Chinese system? Thank you.
We've been working on it for a long time along different tracks. We have our own system for the transfer of financial messages. As I understand, our financial authorities, I mean the central bank, looking to expand the use of that system. As for our ties with China, we've spent many years to switch to national currencies in our settlement. We do have the mechanism, and we've been doing that with other partners. So it's just some trend. Those who have set up the existing currency system are dissatisfied with the way some countries use that system, for instance, China. And that system was set up by the West. And China is beating the West on its own territory. This is why we see the response that we see from the US. And the minister just shared that with me. You cannot use ultimatums, sanctions to have a relationship with other countries. We have a proverb: you can't force someone to love you. Unfortunately, that's a simple rule that the US has not learned. Going back to the Russia China relationship. We will try to make sure that it's a safe relationship, that there are no threats from unfriendly players. And that also applies to the way we deal with each other and to our mutual settlement. Thank you.
The floor is given to the reporter, CJ Chen.
好的, 谢谢主持人, 我是中央广播电视台,
Thank you.
中国国际电视台, CGTN 的记者, 那我有一个问题呢, 想请问王国,
and my question is for Bang Yi. Chinese vaccines are delivered to the thousands of countries in the world, and there are some unsubstantiated talks that the China is promoting vaccine diplomacy and Russia is trying to expand its influence. So how can you comment on this? You know that COVID-19 is the enemy for the entire mankind, and vaccine is the best weapon to fight against this enemy. And we make this vaccine accessible as much as we can. And Chairman Xi Jinping said that China is ready to make vaccine accessible universally. And to make it accessible for the developing countries, we see this as our practical duty to make this come true. And talking about the global cooperation regarding vaccine, we are a part of the COVAX program. Due to the request from our partners, we deliver vaccine, we help with the vaccine to 80 countries in the world. And at the same time, we deliver our vaccine, we're exporting our vaccine to a number of other countries. More than 70 countries have approved to use Chinese vaccine, and its safety and efficiency has been approved widely, endorsed widely. As far as I'm concerned, the Russian vaccine has already been registered in more than 50 countries in the world, and is getting more and more support and attention. We are sincerely interested in coordinating with the cooperation among various countries in the development, manufacturing, and rolling out the vaccine, which will allow to make the vaccine accessible, widely accessible for all the countries in the world to make it truly popular. We are ready to work for it to curb the spread of this infection and to provide safety for mankind. And I would like to emphasize that you're not talking about vaccine diplomacy or anything of the kind. Actually, it's a humanitarian operation, unlike those who want to use this situation to procure a lot of vaccines. Since the beginning, we have been trying to allow as many people as possible to get the vaccine so that mankind could win over this disease. And Russia and China, they are not choosing the path to defend only themselves for the sake of themselves. We are trying to help others. Last year, during the pandemic, those who wanted to go away from the responsibility, who tried to politicize the virus, it really caused a universal education. And during this campaign, vaccination campaign, we must be watchful regarding the attempts to politicize this matter, vaccine matter. Hopefully, all the countries will come united against any attempts of vaccine nationalism and all its manifestation, because it must not be done. And we must bridge these gaps to make the vaccines available product.
I would like to subscribe to what Minister Wang Yi said. From the very beginning of the pandemic, our countries have been a role model for transparency, cooperation, mutual assistance, and that cooperation is continuing, including in the production and the distribution of vaccines. We talked about that today. Our relevant institutions are in contact. And yesterday, President Putin held a meeting on production issues and distribution of vaccines. It clearly favored the following approach. Everyone needs to be guided by the interest of humanity, not geopolitical interests or commercial interests, but by the need to save the lives and health of the people. Should not be guided by any competition principles. This is something that our Western partners need to be aware of. They would like to position Russia and China as some reckless countries in the vaccine environment, and this has nothing to do with reality.
Please, Kommersant Daily. Thank you very much. I have a question for Mr. Lavrov. We have already talked about the matter of sanctions. Both China and Russia have sanctions imposed against them from the U.S., from the European Union countries. So do you plan to exchange experience of against these sanctions? And is it justified that such tense relations with both countries, with the West powers, make them get closer with each other?
Now, on sanctions and the response to these illegitimate unilateral restrictions against Russia and China, we talked about that today. We both condemn such kind of approach. We have made multiple statements on that, including in the declaration we signed today. And I'm sure the leaders will approve, will adopt a new declaration on the 20th anniversary of our Treaty on Good Neighborly Ties. And they will also mention their position on that once again. We cooperate with many other countries and we would like to, and we counter such practice. The UN has the position of the special rapporteur on unilateral restrictions. And this is a very practical move to clarify that such practice, such policy is unacceptable. The US, the EU, and the West in general, they replace diplomacy with these moves to impose their own rules and others, because they seem to be failing in the art of diplomacy. Again, they say no more international law, it's time for some rules. And what was your second question? Oh, yes, thank you. Together with China, we've been friends not against anybody, and our country is geographically close to China. And it covers vast swaths of Eurasia. We have good neighborly ties with China, and we're also neighbors to the EU. Always wanted to promote our ties across the perimeter. The EU destroyed all the mechanisms that we were trying to build over many years, and we only have partners in some individual nations that are guided by their national interests, and that willy-nilly leads to the fact that our ties with China are developing faster than what we have with Europe. Again, we don't have any ties with the EU as an organization. The infrastructure of those relations were destroyed by the unilateral moves. When and if the EU believe it makes sense for them to remove this anomaly in the contacts with their biggest neighbor, definitely we would be happy to work with them based on the equitable basis. So on the Western Front, nothing has changed, but in the meantime, in the East, we have a broad agenda. It's becoming busier and busier.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.